Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Church Australia. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Thank you to our Crave team. As Marcy said, we're always blessed by the way that you add to our gathering and our worship, and in the last 4 to 6 weeks, exceptional work. So how about we thank them again for what they've done? You know, it's been a great time the last month talking about God with us and us with God. And this morning in 100% Church, I wanted to talk to you about an extension of that idea, and what is on, I think, on God's heart when we talk about being with Him. Now, at the beginning of the Christian Bible, there are four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they tell the story of Jesus. The next book in the Christian Bible is the book of Acts. It's also called the Acts of the Apostles. But it could also be called what Team Jesus did after his death and resurrection. I think it'd be more accurate to call it what the Holy Spirit did through the church. Now, I think this view is important, especially today, where many people emphasize the kingdom of God and it really de-emphasize the Holy Spirit and the church. In their thinking, the kingdom means nothing more than justice, peace and love, and it doesn't matter where you are or how you do that as long as you're living that sort of way. To me, that sounds more like a beauty pageant pledge than what Jesus intended. You know, I just want world peace or something like that. So what I want to share with you today is what I think Jesus really gave his life for. Because in my opinion, nothing matters more than what Jesus intended. Not what we think, but actually what Jesus intended. As I said, the story of Jesus in the gospel books tells of his kingdom dream. And in Acts, this dream is passed on by the Holy Spirit to the community of God, the church, 100%. This wasn't just another good idea at the time. It wasn't some sort of human creation like socialism or capitalism or humanism. This idea of the church is a totally transformative, God-created good news plan for his people. It's not just something that we can say, oh yeah, well, that's fine, but I don't wash with that, I don't get involved in that. The Apostle Paul taught us about the importance of the church throughout all his writings, and in Ephesians 3, it's on your outline, he says this: God's purpose is for the church to display his wisdom. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, Paul is talking about the centrality of the church to God's plan. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't just another good idea at the time. It's not a place that you come to if there's time on the weekend. It's central to God's plan, and it's his eternal plan. It wasn't a plan that he just thought up along the way. It's been his plan since before the beginning of time, and will be his plan until the end of time. And he brought it to pass through what Jesus did on the cross. Now, what the Apostle Paul is telling us about this kingdom dream of Jesus is this: that Jesus' followers, he gathered followers when he was here on earth, they become the church community and then begin to act like a kingdom community. You see the connection? Jesus' followers become the church community, so this random scattered group of believers are formed by the Holy Spirit into community and then begin to act and to be and to do kingdom community things. All because of the Holy Spirit which Jesus gave to us after he ascended through the whole story of Pentecost. In the Christian Bible, the gospel story is followed by the story of Christians fulfilling Jesus' kingdom dream, empowered by the Holy Spirit, but through action-based communities. And this brings that longed for justice, peace and love that people long for and talk about a lot. But it's for all in his community, the church. Now, to be clear this morning, I wish I didn't have to say this, but in this day and age you do. By church, I don't just mean denominations or church buildings and all that sort of stuff. You know, too many people park their nice cars in nice car parks and enter nice buildings with their nice family and friends. They get what they want, they get back in their car and they go to lunch. Now, that could be a shopping centre. But today, it could also be some churches, sadly. But it's not what that's not community, and it's not what Jesus meant church to be. We dare not confuse a community-less church or a community-less faith or religion, no matter how passionate and personal, with what Jesus intended. We dare not. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit creates the community and makes the church what the kingdom needs the church to be. It's all empowered by the dream of Jesus, and nothing matters more to Jesus than his church, 100%. The church is at the very core of the kingdom dream of Jesus. This dream was never intended to be solo Christianity. This dream was never intended to be an individual stylized faith. I've said many times in this place that faith is always personal, but it's never meant to be private. It's always communal. We are called for community by Jesus, to be shaped by the Holy Spirit. Why is that? We're called by Jesus. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit, shaped into community for the sake of the world. We always need to remember why we are here, why Jesus built the church, for the sake of the world. Now, I don't pretend that the church is perfect. I don't pretend that this church is without its issues either. But look around. We're a gathering of humans, not angels. What I'm asking you to do today as we think about this 100% idea of church, what I'm asking you to do is to take a good, hard look at what Jesus intended. And to ask yourself if you might be interested in that. If you might be interested in facilitating that. If you might be interested in becoming that. Because that is what Gateway has always been about. Always been wanting to form the community that Jesus intended to form. So that we can reach the world that Jesus wants to reach through us. It's never an individual. It's never just a family-based kind of private deal. Jesus always meant for us to be in community together. Are we willing to lay down our lives to Jesus and engage in the agony and the ecstasy of being part of a church community? Because it has its ups and downs, its highs and lows. But to Jesus, there was not an option alternative. You know, there weren't like five options, tick which one you want. The A-grade, A-plus idea of Jesus is the church, and there are no other options. And it's in the church that we serve and sacrifice and love and live for one another. You know, in the Gospels, or in the New Testament, sorry, there are hundreds of instances of one another-ism, where we one another for the other. Sort of thing. You can't one another yourself. We must be together to one another each other. I think that's right. I'll have to play that back to see if I said that right. One another is the essence of church. And yes, church is imperfect and it's full of imperfect people. Look around. But it's what Jesus wanted us to continue to contend with and to be. Or have we allowed ourselves to be seduced by the whispers of consumerism and, you know, the altar of family and culture? Just ask yourself that question. What is it for you? But don't feel too out of sorts if you think, oh, well, maybe we're not part of the church as we should be, because it happened in early church times. Less than 100 years after Jesus left this earth, the church was settling for less than 100% church. So much so that the Apostle Paul had to put out an epistle to refocus and go, guys, what are you doing? Stop. We should be focusing on this and not just the things that life brings us. He says in Philippians 3, I once thought things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus Christ has done. What did he do? He gave his life to form the church. Paul goes on, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. This is what Jesus gave his life for. Pastor Rick Warren, who's well known to this church and his teachings have been a part of our church community for decades, he puts Philippians 3 this way. Nothing matters more than knowing God's purposes for your life, and nothing can compensate for not knowing them. Take notice of that second part. Nothing can compensate for not knowing them. I think too often today we try and compensate ourselves with all sorts of other things without first prioritizing God. And if you think, well, of course a pastor would say that, I'm paid to say that. Well, British philosopher Bertrand Russell, who was a self-proclaimed atheist, acknowledged the preeminence of God. He said it this way, unless you assume a God exists, the question of purpose of life is meaningless. So unless we put God central and the kingdom dream of Jesus central to it, then everything in life really is meaningless. If there is no God, there's no grand scheme of significance to anything. It's just atoms. If there's no God, your life is just a random chance. You just turned up. If there's no God, there's no right or wrong. And there's no heaven and hell. And for many of us, we would be upset to know that that would also mean there is no justice. God placed each of us in the church for a purpose. And nothing matters more than people of faith forming community around God's purposes. Nothing can compensate us for not doing this. Not success or wealth or fame or pleasure or happy families or a good life. You are not created for a good life. You're not created to be good and to do good things. You are created for the purposes of God. And you were called, those of you who have accepted Christ, called and gathered by Jesus into the church for the sake of the world. You know, without purpose, the church is many things. Here's three I thought of this week. It's motion without meaning. There's a lot of stuff happening, but why? It's also activity without direction. You know, why are we doing these sort of things? Is there no direction to this? Where are we heading? And it's events without reason. Well, why get together like this here today? I mean, why do we have to do that? Without God's purposes, the church lacks meaning. And there are five purposes God had for forming the church, for forming you and I, those who follow Jesus, into the church. There are five big ideas, five big values inside of why Jesus did that we need to take notice of. Now, you won't see this as a small list in a few verses that you can read tomorrow, but it's expressed by Jesus in his great commandment and through the Great Commission. You know, go into all the world. And then love one another. It's demonstrated by the early church, just in that book of, you know, Team Jesus, the book of Acts. In just the second chapter, you will see a great expression by the church of how to live out this church community. It's explained by Paul time and again, especially in Ephesians 4, the letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 expresses this idea of why Jesus formed the church. And it's actually prayed about by Jesus himself. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, I commend that to you today to go and reread the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John and see what kind of prayer was on the heart of Jesus for his church. We are the church, and we have a purpose in being created and being together. And here's five things really quickly. We're firstly planned for God's pleasure. The reason that God sent Jesus and you know, created the church by the Holy Spirit out of that whole thing was for worship. We are here to worship God, for His pleasure. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here for ourselves. You know, the word worship, interestingly, in a lot of people's minds, if you say, oh, I went to worship, they'll say, oh, you were singing songs and stuff. And yeah, we sing songs. Music has always been a part of the rich tradition of the Christian faith. But while some people see worship as a synonym for music, it's far more than that. Worship extends to everything we do in life, if we're doing it with a conscious presence of Christ in our spirit. We can work. We go to work and say, I'm going to honour God in what I do in my work. That's worship. We can be with our family, as I was on the weekend, looking after little toddly tot run around grandchildren. If you do that and go, I'm doing this because I want to create a godly family, that's worship. You can be doing it at the kitchen sink. You can be doing it in school. If you have a sense of, I'm carrying the presence of Christ, Christ is in me and I'm doing this, I'm doing my best for Him, that's worship. It's not just about singing. The number one value, the number one purpose God placed in His people is to bring Him pleasure. Secondly, we're formed for God's family. We're formed for God's family, and another word for that is community. It's a much misunderstood idea about the Christian faith that it's just believing. It's just, you know, it's what you want to believe, or it's what you believe is the most important thing. I'm afraid it's not, because I think that Christianity isn't just about believing. It's about belonging. You can't do the Christian life on your own. You might think you can, because I'm a good person, I'm pretty gifted, you know, I listen to podcasts, and I even watch that television program sometimes with Jesus, and I'm reading books, and I'm doing all I can, you know. It's not about you. It's not about you. The kingdom dream of Jesus is always about us. It's always about community. It's always about family, the family of God. You were formed, you were called, you were saved for God's family. The third purpose, I believe, that Jesus, why Jesus created the church and placed into us, is that we're created to be like Him. We're created to be like Jesus. The old-fashioned kind of church word for this is discipleship, but it means to become a disciple of Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus, and not just believing in Him and that He was a good person, but actually following Him in terms of doing what He does. He set us an example for us to follow. You know, Muslims even believe in Jesus. Muslims venerate Jesus as a great prophet, but He's far more than that. He is God incarnate. He is God Himself in the flesh. And we are here to become like Him. We're created to be like Christ, not just to do good things, but to be Christ-like and to grow in that. And it's almost impossible to do that without one another. You know, God made you to transform you into the likeness of His Son. So He's far more interested in who we are than what we do. Now, I know what we do is important, but it's only important as it flows out of our faith and our love for God. Otherwise, it's just us doing nice things. If we act in love and do good things and live a holy life as a result of what Christ has done, that's fine. But just to do good things, life has never been about just doing good. You can join a community social group to do that. God is far more interested in what you do next than what you did last. Is that good news? It's good news for me in the world I live in. I muck up fairly regularly. Not sure about you. I muck up 3 times before breakfast usually. That's my usual pattern. But God's more interested in the journey that you're taking and what you do next in the light of what you've done. And that's why I so much appreciated Viv and Glenn sharing their story. It would have been really easy for them to hide and to go into private mode. And, oh, you know, we just want to circle the wagons and it's all about family and this is a tough time and the circumstances are horrible. But they reached out and they stayed part of the body of Christ. And what happened? The body of Christ got around them and prayed for them and helped them and ministered to them in that need. And then God delivered an answer that was beyond marvelous for them. Their testimony is that they're part of the church when that happened. They weren't just off on their own hiding until they feel better to come back to the event that they attend on a Sunday. That's real church, people. It's real church. The fourth purpose for which Jesus created the church and gathered us into it is we're saved to serve. The old-fashioned word for that is ministry. Now, I contend that every Christian is created to serve the purposes of God, to serve one another. Now, that applies to people like myself who are, like as I said before, I'm paid to be a pastor. Well, actually, I'm not paid to be a pastor. You couldn't pay me enough to be a pastor with what pastors have to do. I love what I do and I get paid. That's probably the better way to say it. But even in that professional capacity, I'm constantly thinking about, am I serving? How am I serving? What are the little things that I'm doing that I don't want recognition for, but for the sake of my soul and the world and Christ who died for it, I want to be part of that. And so even sort of a professional pastor's life, constantly got to be thinking about, am I serving? How am I serving? What are the little things that I'm doing in my family, in the community, and in this church that none of you will know about, but I will and God will. And that's important for my soul because I know I'm saved to serve and to do servanty kind of things, which is different to piratey kind of things, but anyway, servanty kind of things is what we're all called to do. Not every Christian is a pastor, but every Christian is a minister. If you've received Jesus into your life, you are called and gathered into his church. And one of the things that we're meant to do, we're meant to live, is service. And the fifth and final purpose that I see in the church is that we're made for mission. We're made for mission. The old-fashioned word there is evangelism. What does it mean to do evangelism? It means to speak out and to live out the work of Christ, to tell people about the good news of his grace. How great is God? How great thou art. And to live that and to speak that and to bring action to that every moment of every day, and especially as we gather. That's why we gather here. And to make it a priority is because we want to speak out the word of God. And if the people of God who have been saved and called by God and forgiven by God and empowered by God and given a mission by God can't turn up as the church, something is drastically wrong. By the way, 10 out of 10 for being here today. Good on you for being here. But we've got to keep remembering that that's what God wants us to do. We plan for pleasure, his pleasure. We're formed for God's family. We're created to be like Christ. We're saved to serve the community in him. We're made for mission to speak the good news. Nothing matters more to Jesus than a purposeful, Holy Spirit-led, 100% church. I could have called today, Nothing Else Matters. And it could have got across a similar kind of point. But I didn't call it Nothing Else Matters. I called it Nothing Matters More, because there's a lot of things that do matter to God. Family matters. The environment matters. The poor matter. But nothing matters more to God than the kingdom of God expressed through the church. The health and wholeness and vitality and power of the church is what I think Christians need to reimagine. According to Jesus, until we prioritize his mission that he gave us, we're on some other mission that he never really intended us to have. You see, the church doesn't have a mission so much as the mission has a church. And that's you and me. The mission of Jesus as a church, formed by the Holy Spirit out of the sacrifice of Jesus and his kingdom dream. What a wonderful blessing it is. And if we don't put Jesus and his church first in our life. Despite what culture says, let's expunge that today. Let's get back to what Jesus intended. Unless we prioritize that, everything else is out of order. If Jesus and his church are not first, it will influence our time, our work, our family, our learning, our living, our loving, our giving, and our dreams will all be out of order. Unless we get this right, in its rightful place, that everything else can flow as the Holy Spirit moves through us and calls us to live lives for him. Would you think and pray about that this week? Can I ask you to do that? Can I ask you to think and pray about how this concept kind of is reflected actually in your life? It's no judgment. I just want you to think about it. Think about, am I prioritizing Jesus and his church, or have I prioritized spirituality and, you know, I'll attend occasionally because it's not that important? Just think about it. I want us to be part of God's kingdom dream, which is poured out through his church. And next week, I want to talk about dreaming. I want to talk about dreaming and dreaming again, about Jesus and his church, because nothing matters more to Jesus than the church he intended. Can we facilitate that? Can we become that as people? I'm praying we can. I have great hope that we can. So please be here again next week. We'll share a bit more about that dreaming before we get into our big active month. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your big kingdom dream, which was created through the death and resurrection of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit through your people for the sake of the world. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you are with us every moment. Help us to be with you on your mission and shape our lives around your life, and not just the good things that can happen in this life, but the things that you desire for us to be. Help us prioritize you and your kingdom dream, so that then through our lives and our families and our groups, we can be the church that you want us to be. Help us to dream your dreams, and help us to dream again. We know we're not perfect, Lord. We know that we fail, but we want to get back up and get back on the program, back on the mission that you set before your church so long ago. To be a kingdom, Holy Spirit-empowered group of people, imperfect, but on the mission that you've given us for the sake of the world who are yet to know you. Help us to be that light on the hill. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people said,